Well, our title today is Jesus at Work, or you could put it the other way around, the work of Jesus. Jesus at work. I don't know if you saw in the newspapers last month now, there was a story of a security manager in his workplace over at the BBC who he'd been sacked because he'd spent 23 hours studying CCTV to see who left a mess in the kitchen. I'm sure you can relate to the frustration of someone's korma splattered inside the microwave or whatever it is. But one suspects that this particular security manager who got so creative with his job description may have been slightly lacking in job satisfaction. Well, today our subject is Jesus at work. And our key text is verse 35. Sorry, verse 34 of the passage we just read. Jesus says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." And I want to notice just two things today. Firstly, Jesus' job satisfaction, and secondly, Jesus' job description. I hope as we see these things, we, if we're Christian, we'll be encouraged to join in with the work of Jesus as we head out into our workplaces. Now, the context to our reading and our key verse is a conversation that Jesus has just had with a woman from the region that they're in, which is Samaria. He's been stood in the noonday heat at a well, and he's deliberately been speaking and conversing with this woman. And he has set her on the path to what we would call, from John's Gospel, the idea of conversion, from being brought from death to life through faith in Jesus, who is God's Savior. And having had this conversation, we now find him back talking to his disciples. They had been sent off for lunch whilst he spoke to the woman. And they're back from Tesco's with their carrot sticks and hummus. And they're wondering why Jesus is speaking to this woman, but they don't say anything. And they don't say anything, but she, at this point, decides to head back to town. And we read in the account that she gets back to town and she tells everyone about Jesus because she's realizing that Jesus is the Christ. She's seen in her conversation with him evidence for him being the promised Savior. And the effect of her testimony in the town is that people are now coming out of the town towards Jesus at the well where he's having lunch. That's the scene you need to keep in your minds. Except Jesus isn't having lunch at all. Look at verse 31. The disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." So they're eating the carrot sticks and hummus and whatever it is, but he's not. And you know what it's like when you really want to tuck in. You don't want to sort of figure out how much to hold back. And so they're saying, "Come on, join in with lunch." And Jesus says, verse 34, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." And I want to observe in these words, firstly, Jesus' job satisfaction. That's our first heading. Jesus is contrasting the disciples' concern for grub with a higher concern, which he has. "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Picture Jesus absorbed in something else other than the lunch which is taking place. Absorbed in the work he's been sent to do. More important than the food set before him. I'm sure and I hope that you've all had a day in the office over the years where what you've been doing has been so absorbing, sort of so satisfying, that you've got to kind of 3:30 and you realize you still haven't eaten since your marmalade on toast 8 hours ago or whatever it was. We occasionally have days like that in the office where our work is satisfying and it consumes us, but often it's not. Don Carson says of Jesus here, that there was a greater sustenance and satisfaction in this work than in any food that the disciples could offer him. Here's a picture of Jesus utterly consumed in the work of his Father. As I said, often our work doesn't particularly satisfy us, the work we're employed for, And so we look to other things and get absorbed in all sorts of distractions. The next promotion or the next purchase, the next house or the next holiday, or perhaps just what we're going to go and have for lunch. But as Christians, we're so silly in that way, aren't we? Because what Jesus is saying is that serving God is where satisfaction is found. And pleasing God is where pleasure is found. This is his food. And the question is, well, what is the pleasure and purpose of God in this age, now that the promised Christ, the Savior of the world, has come? What is the will of God and his work on earth? It's an important question for us as disciples to answer. We need to understand what our boss, the Lord Jesus, is all about. Well, what is the work of God he's come to do? This brings us to his job description. What consumed Christ as he spoke with the disciples in that moment? Well, it relates to the great work of salvation he came to accomplish and to his work on the cross to spare sinners from their sins by incurring our judgment. But the specific work here is a work for disciples to join in on, and it helps to have the scene in our heads as we consider what it is. Remember the picture. You can see it there, thanks to the wonders of OpenAI image generation. The scene is of Jesus with his disciples who are having lunch at the well, and in the distance, a crowd coming towards them from the town. That is what we've been told in verse 30, that the townspeople are coming up to Christ, having heard from a woman. That's the picture. And Jesus is looking at them, not at the picnic spread before him. And so he says to them, to the disciples, in verse 35, you'll see it in the speech bubble, look, eyes up, lift your eyes. I tell you that the fields are white for harvest. And he hasn't turned into Jeremy Clarkson. He's not talking about farming. He's talking about people. He's saying, look, people are coming towards us at this very moment, loads of people. And Jesus knows that these people are ready and waiting to hear and to believe in the Savior. The fields are white. That means ripe, ready for the harvest, to be gathered in for eternal life. This is the great work that Jesus is so consumed with. He's just spent time conversing with the woman of Samaria and led her to faith in conversation. And as a result of that, now he is about to speak to a whole group of people over a couple of days. And he will, as we read later, lead them to believe. This is the work of God on earth in our age. We call it, as Christians, evangelism. That has connotations in our culture, but it simply means speaking about Jesus with those who do not yet know him. In the Bible, speaking God's word is often compared to sowing seed. It's likened to sowing seeds. And reaping is likened to helping people receive and believe in Jesus Christ. This is what we call evangelism. And Jesus says this is his food. This is what he's all about. This is God's work on earth. Of course it is. Christ has died. He's come to die so that through faith in him we can live. And so he seeks to spread the message. And this is the work he's calling his disciples to join in on. Lift your eyes, look up, and see the many, many people all around us. So as we start off again in the first week of September and head into the workplace where we've been put, I wonder if as you look at the workplace, you look at it as a harvest field. Some people, of course, are called to go off to foreign fields. Others are set apart full-time to raise up and train harvest workers. But for most of us, the place God happens to have put us is the place where he would have us join in with this work. And my workplace is my harvest field, my mission field, where my primary opportunity often lies to sow or to reap. And sometimes I may just sow seeds, sometimes I may have the privilege of leading people to believe. But this is the work of Jesus, and it absorbed Jesus Christ. And for us, if we would find pleasure in life on earth in this age, then the way to do that is to please the one who sent Jesus, to do the will and work of his Father. Serving him is what will satisfy our souls. Jesus spoke of sower and reaper rejoicing together. Let me lead us in a short prayer as we begin our year. Our Father, we thank you so much for those you put around us who helped us to see the truth about Jesus, that the promised Savior has come, and that in love he's died for us, and that we can be friends with you. And we pray that through the ministry of your word, you would help each of us who know Jesus to join with Jesus in his great work of making him known here in the city. And we ask it in his name. Amen.